Hello, fellow adventurers. I'm Erica, and welcome to the Adventure On podcast, a place where we share stories of self-discovery and lessons learned both on and off the trail. Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited for my guest today. I have Mags with me, and she is gonna take us on a wild adventure. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name's Maggie Mags Explores on Instagram. I live in Arizona and I spend my free time doing anything I can in the outdoors.
Have you always lived in Arizona?
No, I'm originally from the flatlands of Iowa, actually. I moved here about 4 years ago.
What drew you out to Arizona then?
Definitely the weather. I was walking to class at the University of Iowa when the wind chill was negative 50, and I was all bundled up and was like, I need to get out of this hellscape. So instead of a cold hell, I moved to hot hell in Phoenix after I graduated. And it's much better, much improved.
The different extremes. Here. Mm-hmm. So when exactly. You moved out to Arizona, is that kind of what got you into the outdoors?
Yeah, I grew up camping sometimes with my family, going on vacations to the mountains, skiing, etc. But I wasn't super obsessed with being outside until I moved here and found everything Arizona has to offer. I didn't really expect to fall in love with this place. I thought it was just desert and pokey plants and scorpions and rattlesnakes until I lived here for a little while and started hiking more. And even just getting outside, even in the valley, even in like in the Superstitions right next to Phoenix, it's a whole different world. So you can go from pokey plants and scorpions to like scrub brush, even full-size actual trees and forests in the Superstitions. And you go up north, you go out east, and you have ponderosa pines, you have huge mountains, cool weather. So the variety here is really what kept me.
What would you say is like been the thing that really inspired you to keep getting outside? Because I know a lot of people go outside and they go for a hike and they're like, that's cool. But you've really kind of embraced the outdoor lifestyle.
Yeah, I went backpacking. You know, I got into hiking and then wanted to go further, basically. And I got into backpacking so that I could camp outside overnight. And I just fell in love with it after my first time. It was a transformative experience. I came back, I quit my job the next day.
What? Okay, yeah. Wait, no, pause. You have to tell me more than what happened out there that made you come back and just say, I'm changing my life.
It's hard to describe. I was slowly collecting gear for it and I finally had everything and finally worked up the nerve to go for the first time. And the peace that I felt outside was something that I wanted to feel in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way this is something that I can only find when I'm deep in nature, disconnected from everyone. And the place I was working just wasn't a very good fit for me. I made some amazing friends, we're still my friends to this day from that job, but it just was not what I wanted to do at all. And I thought, why am I wasting my time on something 40 hours a week when I should feel more at peace and happier every day? So I just came back and I'm not kidding. That Monday I put in my 2 weeks.
Wow. That's incredible. And that takes a lot of courage. Like, I don't know a lot of people that follow through with that in that way.
Oh yeah. I'll tell anybody that talks to me that I've got more guts than I do brains. That's for sure.
So you go on this epic backpacking trip, you have this incredible experience, you come back, you quit your job, then what?
I actually didn't hike too much. Like I said, I started backpacking and then just kind of casually started trying out different hikes around my house. And what got me going outside was meeting someone who was doing my county's hiking challenge, which was 100 miles in 100 days. And I wanted to get more experience outside, but I didn't really have anything that was super motivational for me to actually consistently go get on trail. I spent a lot of time partying. So, I wasn't going to wake up early and it's hot here. So, you know, I was like, meh, you know, not really enthusiastic about it. But I'd been to a couple cool places before, but I really wanted the motivation to get outside. However, I ended up not being able to afford the county one, because when I worked there, I wasn't making enough money to pay to drive to a county park and get into the county park, pay to get in, and hike there like every weekend. So I made my own hiking challenge, and it just inspired me to get outside all the time. And now I, that's all I do. Also in 2020, there was nothing else to do. So,
yeah, very valid.
You know, yeah, I used to be a little bit more, and I still am, a pretty well-rounded person when it comes to my activities. But I think 2020 really enforced me going outside every weekend and exploring the state more, going to creeks, going, you know, whether I was, yeah, creek hopping, mountain climbing, etc. I just lived practically outside all the time, made a bunch of friends doing that. And now I'm just addicted to pushing myself to my physical limit. And I think the outdoors is the way to do that.
Oh, definitely. And you mentioned starting your own challenge. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So like I said, I basically ripped off the county's hiking challenge where they had 100 miles in 100 days and made my own. That's called AZ Bootleg 100. It's the same thing. You hike 100 miles in 100 days on any trail in Arizona. So you shouldn't have to pay too much to actually get outside. To join the challenge, it's $20. And if you complete it, you get a pint glass and an after party, you know, with our logo on it and saying you're an official bootlegger. And during the challenge, we host group hikes. We don't necessarily guide those group hikes. Me and my co-hosts are there usually, but it's more of a club hiking event than it is necessarily a guided hike. And I like doing those because there's certain hikes that I know many of my bootleggers have told me, oh, I would never consider doing that because I didn't have someone to go with and I felt it was too dangerous for me. So even a hike on South Mountain, which is a pretty, you know, pretty standard, nothing too crazy, safe place to hike here, there's people that won't go because they don't have anyone to go with. So I created this community with the hopes that my bootleggers would meet each other, meet people like them, and have the courage to go out and get more experience hiking, start at South Mountain, and then move up to, you know, maybe Piestewa Peak. And from there, for people who aren't in the valley, these are like progressively more difficult hikes, start exploring some other places around that might have been once intimidating, but now they have people to go with.
Wow, I love that. That's a super powerful thing to have and to offer, because I definitely have seen that here. I hear people all the time talk about, oh, I don't know how to hike by myself, or I would never do that hike because I don't have anyone to go with. And so creating a community, that's incredible.
Thanks. Yeah, it really keeps me inspired. My bootleggers are who pushes me, I think, to keep going outside. And also to, you know, sometimes I think everybody probably has these thoughts when you're outside and you're like, oh, but do I really need to be that strict with myself, with my safety or my leave no trace? I'm like, yeah, I do. Gotta set a good example. Yeah, I do. So I think they really inspire me to not just get outside. You know, if somebody who's never gone before, who's new to hiking, is out there doing some cool stuff, I'm like, yeah, I can get up on Saturday and I can go do that too. But they also inspire me to be a good outdoors woman as well.
Yeah. So tell me about some of the obstacles and challenges that you faced on your own journey outside.
First off, figuring out where to go was one of my biggest obstacles, how to find places that I actively wanted to hike. And to overcome that obstacle, well, first I started out with asking people on Instagram, where is this? And as I've moved more into the hiking community on Instagram, people hate that. A lot of people hate that. So especially because geotagging is really frowned upon in the Instagram hiking community for specific locations. So my next step was making friends that already hiked outside, but I'm really outgoing. So it's easy for me to go out and just be like, hey, next time you're on whatever hike, do you want to hike together and just, you know, start chatting with people? 100% easy for me to do. I realize that's not easy for everyone. So if you're not quite that outgoing or extroverted. I recommend downloading an app like AllTrails is really great. People poo-poo AllTrails all the time, but I think that they are lost. I love AllTrails. I have Avenza Maps as well, which is a free app. And then you can buy different map sets and just looking, or you can buy a physical map and just looking at them and saying, this looks like there would be a cool canyon here or a creek, or this is a mountain that I want to peak bag, something like that. Or if you see a picture of something online, like on Instagram, use context clues. You know, you can see, oh, what area has similar landscape to that? And it takes a lot of time. Honestly, a lot of the time I'm just dragging around on Google Earth satellite view and zooming in on places and looking at, say, a creek, for example, and being like, oh, that shiny white spot on that creek, that's probably a waterfall. So going and finding that. And then also just exploring. So that's how I ended up figuring out all these cool places to go. And if you were to look at my Google Maps, you would see just pins everywhere on it, little flags dropped everywhere for places that I want to go or places I've been that I love. And I would highly recommend, if you want to start out but you don't know where to go, start with, say, AllTrails, use their filters, figure it out, start going that way. And then as you find other places, use Google Maps to see how to get there and these different locations that you want to find. So that's probably the number one thing that my biggest obstacle when going outside.
I think that's really important to talk about, because I don't know if you feel this way, but I always feel like when I put the time and the energy and the effort to find these places, it's far more rewarding for me. And I always feel more prepared than just like someone telling me on Instagram where it is. I show up, I have no idea what the hike actually entails to get to this spot. I just saw a pretty picture on Instagram. And I definitely was that person, you know, 5-10 years ago, and being able to give these tools and resources like, okay, hey, this is another way that you can figure it out. Like, let's get educated. And most of the time, if you're taking the time to really search Google Maps, you're learning more about the landscape that can help keep you safe in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. I think a great example is the crack at Wet Beaver Creek, which I'm pretty sure was named by a 14-year-old, is a really popular cliff jump destination here in Arizona. And it used to be kind of underground, you know, like people knew about it. But when I was going, there was maybe 30 people there at the same time on a Saturday. And now you have hundreds of people going. Now it's like 300 people a day on the weekends. And they had to close it because someone posted it on TikTok and made it seem like this easy hike. And, you know, the hike for me, for example, I've been hiking for years. I am a runner, I backpack, etc. Yeah, it's easy. But it's 4 miles one way, completely exposed in 110 degree heat. So, yeah, so that's not something that if you never hike, if you're not from here, you might see it on TikTok, say, oh, I'm going to visit Arizona, or, oh, I'm just going to randomly go to this cool cliff jumping spot. And you might not bring everything that you need with you. And then you have to get rescued because you're dehydrated. And that's, in my personal view, I think if you are going to be posting these locations specifically, that you need to make sure it's like your personal responsibility to make sure that people are prepared for the difficulty of that trail.
Oh, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I'm totally. Yeah, totally with you though. I agree that if I were to like with the crack, when I found it, I was searching on Google. And, you know, I could see the trail and it makes a really big difference in how to get there. And it makes a huge difference in reward of finding a place. I agree with that. My second obstacle I'd say to getting outside was the cost. You know, when I first started going outside, and growing up, my parents were the ones who bought me outdoors gear and hiking boots. And then when I moved in just by myself, I was like, oh, wow, hiking boots cost $250 to $300. That's right. A lot of money. You know, where am I going to get that money to just walk around some, you know, basic place out here? But I found a few things. First off, REI garage sale is incredible. So they've actually reduced the amount that they take off. Like they've increased the price of the garage sale, unfortunately, but it is on all the time now in stores, thanks to COVID. Yeah. So there's a little garage sale section at REI. You do have to be a member to purchase something there, but a membership is $20 for a lifetime, and you're going to be getting usually at least $20 off. So just check regularly in REI garage sale and see if there's like any shoes or boots that fit you. Hiking shoes tend to be less expensive. Trail running shoes also tend to be less expensive, but won't last you necessarily as long. Mm-hmm. So don't discount those as other options, especially if you don't necessarily need a hiking boot for what you're doing. So that's a good option for gear and shoes and clothes. Steepandcheap.com is another great option. It's run by Backcountry. You do have to pay for shipping on their website, but usually that still ends up being a really good discount. I'm actually wearing pants right now that I got at Steep and Cheap.
Nice.
And it's all like after season stuff that is still great. It's just a past season color or something like that where they let it run out. So if you see gear on there, I'd recommend looking up reviews of it and then deciding if you want to get it. But the discounts can be really steep, like up to 80% off on that website as well. And then asking like friends and family for if they have gear that they don't use. So secondhand gear in general.
Yeah.
So if I like need to borrow something, you know, or what have you, usually I'll just be like, hey, does anybody have a pop-up tent or what have you, know, if I want it for camping. So cost was, yeah, pretty prohibitive at first. So my third obstacle I found going outside was the fear that somebody was going to murder me.
Yeah.
And I listened to too much like true crime. Same. To not be scared. Yeah.
I am right there with you. That is so funny. Oh, it's my gosh. So my partner true. Makes fun of me all the time because I immediately jump to it's a murder. Something horrible is gonna happen.
Right. Yeah, I totally get that. That's my biggest obstacle, is convincing myself that it's gonna be okay if I hike in the early morning. I'm unlikely to get murdered, but I took some precautions. So when I first started hiking, I just went with the person that I was dating at the time. So there's two of us. You can always, if you're not comfortable hiking alone, don't let anybody make you feel bad about it. I know there's a lot of like strong, independent, you know, women who don't need no man role models out there right now. And I think that's wonderful. And I'm one of those people, like I go hiking and camping alone all the time, but I think that when it comes to the outdoors, if you're not comfortable, don't push it. Just go at the pace that you're comfortable. And when you do get more comfortable doing whatever you're doing, then maybe you can take a step outside of that. But if you don't want to go alone, don't go alone. The outdoors is meant to be experienced however you feel most comfortable in it. But if you are going to go alone, you know, tell people where you're going to be. That's number one. I have a Garmin inReach Mini. I have a Garmin watch that I got recently. They work together. So if I fall or something, my watch will text my emergency contacts, which is cool. You can also have people follow you. If you have a smartphone, you can have your location be broadcasted using Google Maps. So send that to your friends.
Oh, cool.
Or find my friends. Yeah. So like my cousin knows my location all the time, no matter what, just in case.
Yeah.
Those are little safety things. If you're going to go on like a big day hike or backpacking trip, one of the most important things you can do for search and rescue is to print or write out a copy of your itinerary and put it under the front seat of your car.
Oh, that's super smart.
Thanks. Yeah. That way, that's one of the first places they'll look to see if somebody who called about you doesn't know exactly where you'll be. They might try to get into your car and grab your itinerary. I wouldn't necessarily leave it on your seat because then people can look in and see when you're going to come back. But if you put it under your seat, then they can break into your car, find it, and then go find you.
That's a really smart idea. And they know to look there. Like that's I haven't heard of this. So I'm surprised that that's a common thing.
Yeah, it is. It's something that I think more people should know. I actually did search and rescue with Pinal County for a little while, and that's one of the first things they look for.
Wow. Cool. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about tips and how to get outside and the things that you've learned about safety and connecting with people and finding the trail. But I'm curious, how has this changed like you as a person? how have your values changed, or what have you learned from all these epic adventures you've gone on?
Whew, so much. So first off, I feel like if more people experience the outdoors, they will care more about the planet that we live on.
Mm.
Beyond yes. just today. So I used to really just, I wouldn't say not care, but it wasn't the highest priority for me to think about what is my personal impact and what can I do, who can I vote for, especially to minimize the negative impact that humans have on the earth. And once I started actually getting more active outside, I was like, man, I don't care as much if our cities crumble. I care more that we preserve all of the planet. I mean, we live here, but it's so beautiful. And I want generations after me to be able to experience these places as well and take care of them. So my values have been much more focused. It's been less of a shift of selfishness and just me getting outside. And I feel being outside has made me more selfless in that I care more about getting other people out there safely and making sure that they have a good time outside so that they can really experience the beauty of it all. So that's huge. And then also, it has made me more confident as a person. Like, I wasn't really raised as an athlete or anything. I'm not super athletic, so I have to work really hard to be even where I am, like mediocre at all of this compared to some of the crazy people out there. You know, I'll have friends that are with me that never exercise and will not be breaking a sweat while I'm gasping for air as we walk up a hill. That's right.
Me. I feel you on that. I'm the same way.
Get it. Yeah. It's tough. So it's really nice. My values have changed in that I believe more in myself. I've done some gnarly hikes, runs, backpacking trips that a few years ago would have said, oh no, I could never do that. But now I feel really comfortable with pretty much anything that gets thrown my way. And I think, okay, maybe I might not be able to go do, you know, a 30 mile a day through hike tomorrow, but I know that I can work to it. So it's given me more of that patience and that quiet confidence in myself. It's also given me, on the topic of quiet confidence, a lot of loud confidence. When I was... If you follow me, you probably know I have strong opinions about certain things, especially when it comes to people being treated fairly and well. And getting outside and feeling more confident in my ability to speak up if I feel something is wrong, I think are a direct correlation of each other, mainly because my hiking challenge, I owe a lot to that. When I started it, it was... I started it with a friend of mine, and from my personal perspective, I kind of started it as an up yours to the county because they weren't paying me even close to what I was worth for the position I was in. And not just me, but anybody else that had my position, which was like hundreds of people across the county. And I was trying to get everybody a raise at the time that was in my position and the one above me. And I had just been sent on this wild goose chase. I'd had my career threatened. I talked to the county attorney all the way up to the like head of HR. I talked to my board of supervisors representative, just super high up people, and everybody had been pushing me down. And so when I started my hiking challenge as this super inexpensive alternative to the county, it gave me, and people signed up and people cared and they showed up for my group hikes and they said, this is great. Thank you for this. I'm actually getting outside. And normally I didn't hike that much. And like, you have inspired me, et cetera. Really gave me this confidence to be like, yeah, I can make a difference if I actually stand up. And we did end up getting a raise at the county, a very significant raise for the base pay for like awesome. These positions. Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of my favorite accomplishments to date, especially because it's government, so nothing moves. But yeah. We ended up getting one. It was worth the threats to my career, and it was worth starting my hiking challenge partially out of spite, because I really believe that if you are confident loudly, you can get things done. So those are probably the way my values have changed. I used to kind of like let people walk over me, but now I don't.
I love seeing the risk, and it's really easy to, for me at least, it's been really easy for me in the past to fall into this like self-doubt, and when there's risk on the table, talking myself out of it. So to see how the steps that you took, you know, outdoors on the trail and creating the bootleg and all of these things translated over to you finding the courage to be like, I'm going to take that risk and I can do hard things and look at all these badass accomplishments I have. And I think that is something so important for everyone to experience and learn, is like, take a risk for something that you believe in, that you're passionate about, that matters to you, and do it with confidence. Like, believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Yes. Completely seconding that. I have definitely had some major depressive periods, and one of them was this summer. And on the topic of self-doubt, I went into REI when I was working at the store one day, and I asked two of my coworkers who are just, they're both absolute madmen when it comes to running, but they're also both pretty high strung. So I went to them and I said, what do you do when you are facing self-doubt? And they both said, I just run more outside. And I was like, you know, and they both said it helps you sleep better. And you just keep running until your demons go away, basically. And I was like, you know, I kind of love that. There's something magical about getting outside too, where if you are facing self-doubt, and this is extraordinarily difficult to do. Like when I was at my most depressed, I think I went on maybe like one hike, maybe one run this summer. And so there's, you know, zero judgment here, but if you can get outside and just be present in nature for a little bit, sometimes that can, I can't explain it with brain chemistry, but sometimes that can help your self-doubt, or at least tire you out a little bit, and tomorrow will be better because you'll be a little bit more rested.
Well, yeah. And there's science, like you're saying, to back it, that like when we spend time in nature, whether that's walking out our front door and placing our feet in the grass, or going on a short hike, or summiting a mountain, whatever it is, however it looks like for you, it releases like those endorphins in our body. It bolsters our mood incredibly, and at very little effort to us, just spending time outside. So I think that is exactly right. Like when you're experiencing self-doubt, go outside, go for a run, move your body, release those endorphins, big or small, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Put your feet on the earth, lay in the grass, have a picnic, summit Everest, whatever you want to do. I don't care. Just get outside.
Exactly. Exactly. And even, you know, it's one of those, once you convince yourself that, yeah, you can do something that's hard, that's something that comes back to your mind easier every time. Mm-hmm. So every time you go out and you do something that's hard for you, that might be scary, and you overcome that fear, then the next time you go to do something that's difficult, your brain will be like, well, hey, remember we built our confidence by doing this hard thing last time, so we can do that again.
Yes.
Yeah. It's usually that first step that's tough.
Oh, totally is. And it's muscle memory, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're just building that resiliency.
Yeah.
So you've faced some pretty big challenges in your own personal life. I know a little bit about it. And you've shared with me how the outdoors has really helped you recover from some of those experiences. And I'm curious if you're willing to share some of that with our listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the most impactful events in my life aren't necessarily the prettiest ones. And I think that's something that, you know, not that an Instagram highlight reel you're not going to see, but I think one of the biggest things that can set someone back when it comes to their self-worth and their self-confidence, which are necessary things for getting outside, especially alone, is sexual assault. So I've been sexually assaulted a few times, and I did not deal with it very well the first time I was in Iowa. It was right before I went to college. And I didn't really go outside then. And so I didn't do a lot of healing for years until I finally found a really great therapist. But what I think really helped me heal completely, because I was assaulted again in May of 2021. And that just, after a year of garbage, like, you know, 2020 was garbage. And then 2021, I also went through another breakup and I got laid off from this job that I loved, which really messed with my mind. And I was like, I'm going to go into the army. And I went off my ADD meds all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
It was a really rough time. And then a few months after that, things were going a little bit better, but then I got sexually assaulted by somebody that I considered a friend. And I just immediately took a really deep dive in, like I said, self-worth, self-confidence. My general purpose of life was like, what am I even doing here? And the depression was real and the PTSD was very real. So previously I'd gotten EMDR, so eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy for PTSD, which helped quite a bit. But this time around, I was working part-time at REI. I couldn't afford a therapist. I had no idea basically how to do this on my own. And I pretty much went outside as much as I could and meditated. So at first I couldn't. In June of 2021, like I said, when I was really depressed, I went outside maybe once and it was awful. And then Ariana Grande teamed up with BetterHelp to give like a month of free therapy. And my therapist was awful. She canceled my first meeting. Yeah, it was so bad. She canceled my first meeting. She like 20 minutes before we were supposed to meet, and she was scheduled out for like weeks. And the second meeting, we had technical difficulties and she talked to me for maybe 10 minutes, but she did narrow it down to self-doubt. And I thought, okay, let me work on that. And I looked more into it and I said, my self-worth is at an all-time low. My confidence is at an all-time low. And if you met me, you wouldn't know at the time. Like, I use humor to cover up my issues, or just to deal with my problems. So I was just my funny, jokey self at work and everything and was totally fine. And
I'm the same way. And I think there's so many people out there that have this fun, bright, bubbly personality and portray themselves in a particular way. And that's not necessarily what's really going on the inside, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think getting outside helps in that it increases your self-confidence in a lot of ways. And I think the trauma from assault is huge in that you don't feel like you're physically capable anymore often. Mm-hmm. You feel weak. And even if, you know, you don't physically fight back because it's in your best interest oftentimes not to, you still feel the overwhelming emotional weakness that comes with that. And you might know it's not your fault on the surface, and you might know that there's nothing you could have done, but you can know those things on the surface, but until you go out and you actually feel strong again and capable again, you know, you're just going to live with that emotion in your head, because it really messes you up. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing that helped me was being alone and doing things that were physically difficult, but still staying safe with them and letting myself feel scared, but talking myself through things. So like camping by myself, I brought my dog with me, which helped quite a bit. And she growls at everyone and everything when I'm camping, which is kind of nice. Yeah. You know, it makes you feel safe. You're like, yeah, you're right. Tell them. So that was really nice to do. I personally don't, I have like a giant shotgun, but I don't have a handgun. But if it makes you feel better and you're in recovery, do things that make you feel safe, like take a kickboxing class or go get a gun and bring it with you when you're outdoors, if it's, you know, legal where you are, etc. And I think taking that time to sit with your emotions and feel more physically confident really, really helps. Also, with nightmares too, you know, we can't control what our brain does, but the more tired we are, the less nightmares we're going to be having. So if you can physically exhaust yourself, you'll sleep deeper and hopefully have less nightmares.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That's just my experience personally.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. One, I think what you're saying really resonates with me too, in that like when you have something like, you know, being physically or sexually assaulted happen in your life, no matter what the circumstances are surrounding that, you lose this sense of internal safety and yes, that belief in yourself. And so doing those small things to, even if you're scared, because you will be, and that's totally okay. Being afraid is not going to kill you. It's not. It's okay to be afraid, and it's okay to take a step into that fear safely. Like, you don't want to go into like the panic and re-traumatizing by any mean, but there's this like in between area where you step outside of that comfort zone and you learn and you grow and you start to become more confident and you like take your power back, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's huge. I also think, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's really into psychedelics recently about ego death. And I think something really important for me that I've had to do, and not something I necessarily would recommend for everyone. I think recovery from sexual assault is really personal, but I've had to find the silver linings of it. And one of my silver linings is similar to when you are tripping and you see, you're outside your body and you see your body and you're like, oh, really, the part of me that's important is my soul, my mind, not necessarily my physical self. I think when you are being assaulted, that same instance can happen to you. Your brain can do the same thing where it says, hey, ego, you don't matter anymore. And that's really tough when you're not expecting it and you're not going into something with that mindset. I think you can become a better person by looking at it through that point of view as well, as I guess a silver lining. And that's huge too for being outside. I think, especially when it comes to being inclusive in the outdoors and staying safe in the outdoors, is if your ego is too big, then you might take unnecessary risks or think that you're better than everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the trauma has helped. So that's another thing, that maybe your experiences have actually made you somebody who's a better person to be outside than you were before.
And I totally agree with that. I am so, and I know that this isn't for everyone and not everyone is at this place in their journey. It definitely takes a lot of time. I've experienced a lot of things in my life, and I think it's definitely taken me many, many years to get to a place where I'm grateful for every single part. Doesn't mean that it wasn't painful. Doesn't it mean that I didn't fall into a deep, darkness? And it doesn't mean that I would say, hey, I want that to happen again, but it has definitely made me who I am. And I think over the years, I've fallen in love with that person. I think that's really what recovery is, right? Is you have trauma. Like, we can't control trauma. It happens. Big, small, whatever it looks like, it's different for everyone. We don't have control over the trauma in our lives. What we have control over is what we do with that trauma, and that it doesn't have to define us. Even though that darkness, even though that experience can feel consuming, we still have a choice. And it may take weeks, months, years for us to get to that place. But I love what you've shared about, I got outside and it sounds like you found yourself again, even more so than maybe you had before.
Yes. I think being outside was necessary to the rebuilding of myself and my self-worth. And that's the biggest thing when you are recovering from trauma. It's acknowledging that it's part of you now. And I love that you said taking your power back too, because it's taking your any experience in your life and turning that into a force of yourself. And, you know, we talk about, say, a force of nature, and you go outside and you can kind of combine the two, and now you're actually more powerful than you were before because you've been through something and recovered from it.
Yes. huge. I absolutely love that. So we've talked about so many different things today, and I think this message is so important and so powerful. I'm curious if you were to boil it down to like a little snippet, like if someone were to only tune in for a few minutes, what would you want them to hear from this?
I would want anyone listening to know that the outdoors is accessible to you regardless of your background. It might look different to you, but that's okay. And that should be celebrated, that the outdoors is a different space for everyone. And however you choose to participate in the outdoors, as long as you're respecting nature, that's okay.
I love that. So what would you recommend to someone getting started? Someone that is in this space where they're not really sure what getting outside looks like or feels like, especially for women, because I know we've talked a lot today about being a woman outside.
I know there's a lot of specific barriers that women face that men don't necessarily face. But I ran into somebody that only had male mentors. I just had to learn by experience. One of the biggest things I'd say is women who, or I guess anyone who menstruates, however you identify, like, what am I going to do if I'm camping or if I'm backpacking? Well, it's actually pretty straightforward. You're going to pack your tampons out. You can take a plastic bag and put duct tape around the outside so that people can't see it. And then you can just put your tampons in there. Or you can have, say, a Diva cup or other brand of menstrual cup. Those take a bit of a learning curve. So I'd recommend trying to use those at home for a little while first. But you can bury your blood just like you would excrement too. So you can dig a cat hole, dump it in, and rinse it somewhere and continue on with your life.
This is where I love having a bidet. Do you use a bidet?
No.
For my gosh.
A backpacking bidet?
You need one. Yes. Oh my gosh. This is going to change your life. And I know that everyone listening is going to be like, really? She's talking about this bidet thing again? Because every time I talk to people, I'm like, get a bidet. That's like my number one gear thing. Because when I'm on my period and I'm outside, it helps me feel clean. It helps, like, because I use a cup. So it helps that cleanup process. So what you can get a lot of different options. I use what's called a Culo Clean, and it just pops on the top of a water bottle. It's like maybe this big, very small, pops on top of a water bottle. I fill it with water and then you just squeeze it and it works like a bidet would, just if you've ever used a bidet. So it makes cleanup really easy and it makes it so like I feel actually clean down there as well. And then I use like a pee rag, like a Culo cloth. And I just like dab everything up and it's going to change your life. I tell you now.
That's amazing. I'll have to, at your recommendation, I will get one of those.
Okay. I did test at home beforehand.
Yes, I'm sure.
There's a learning curve.
There's also like, you can get a shiwi or similar, like a female urinary device so that you can stand up and pee, which Or say a Culo cloth too, if you feel like squatting, which is like a pee cloth, which they are sanitary for all the women that are cringing listening right now. I promise.
Yes.
It is sanitary to use these things. I think men are so much more comfortable just using the bathroom outside in general that it was kind of tough. If you are going to do something like swim in a creek or a lake or hot springs especially, women have a pretty high risk of getting some kind of infection, usually a yeast infection for something like that. So what I would recommend doing is bringing a change of bottoms, whatever, just a different pair of underwear, and then changing into your swimsuit or whatever you're wearing and change out and make sure everything is like aired out and dried off down there before you continue to hike. If you're on like, you know, a through hike, you really don't want to be getting, say, a UTI or a yeast infection. That's not fun.
Right.
Even my best friend who works for the DNR up in Washington has problems finding gear as well. Especially, man, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves with REI. Whenever I go into an REI store, I see the women's boots are stocked, but they are like a mid hike height backpacking boot at the best. you know, and you look at the men's side and you've got like Oslos and Zamberlins over there that are actually meant to be putting 500, 600 plus miles on them with a heavy backpack on. And usually there's such a discrepancy between what the women have available and the men have available. So I highly recommend talking to people at your local hiking store, whatever that be, about what you are actually doing and if they have the right shoes for you, and research the companies that make shoes on a unisex last, which is what they form the shoe around is called a last. And if it's unisex, that means it's designed for men. But if it's a really great company, like La Sportiva is a good one, or Zamberlin's another one, where they use two different types of lasts, and the women's going to be a little bit narrower. Also, on the subject of footwear, make sure that you are getting the right width of footwear as well. This is something that I ran into when I was selling shoes, is women hate to admit that they have wide feet. If you have wide feet, you have wide feet. Doesn't make a difference. It's going to be fine. But get shoes that have a wider toe box so that you're comfortable when you're going out there. And make sure that, oh man, one time this woman on Instagram said that I saw her comment that she has to be photographed wearing different clothing to show her experience. I'm here to tell you that's not true. There's so many Instagrammers that are out here having a different outfit in every single photo with new clothing, et cetera. And that's fast fashion and that's bad for the planet. So you don't need that. Invest in quality gear, a few pieces of quality gear that you can continue to wear outside. Remember that women, and by women, I'm saying people that are born biologically female, however you choose to identify, I want to be inclusive, tend to be cooler, like colder than men. So that's why there's a difference between sleeping bags, for example, where a woman's 25 rated sleeping bag is going to be warmer than the men's 25 rated sleeping bag. Keep that into account. You might be saving some money on a men's 25, but really their 25 is rated comfort or survival to 35 degrees instead of a woman's 25, which is survival at 25 degrees. So things to note with that. And like I said, if you are going into a hiking store and looking at all these different things, people that are working there should be able to help you with those differences as well. So it's very important when you're looking at where you're going to go, look at the temperature, look at the terrain, and where you're going to be outside most frequently, and get your gear to suit your physical self as best fits that area that you'll be recreating in. And take with a grain of salt, maybe advice from people who are physically drastically different than you.
Yeah, I think this is super important because as a woman in the outdoors, biologically female, I have experienced the fact that like the outdoors until the last however many years is pretty much male dominated. It still is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really rare that I'm on a trip and I have female friends with me unless I plan a women's specific trip. And what I notice as a woman in a very male saturated field, I guess, of adventure is I've used gear designed by men for men for so long that I had no idea that if I bought a sleeping pad made for women, that it would change my freaking everything. I literally, this last year, I got a Sea to Summit sleeping pad that is women specific, and they take into consideration all of those things. Like my body shape is different. The way that my body rests is different. The temperature of my body is different, and all these different things. And I went from sleeping on, I mean, a really nice sleeping pad. Like it was great, don't get me wrong, but to sleeping on a sleeping pad made for me as a woman change the way that I sleep on the trail. It's incredible. So definitely do yourself a favor, you know, like buy for you, buy for your body type, buy for your, you know, specific needs on the trail, and don't settle for gear that is unisex if you have a gender specific option. And I know that like, yes, there's a spectrum of gender, but what biologically, like buy for that biological component, because it does make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if anybody is listening from that designs gear for women, first off, thank you. Second off, can we please have more colors? please.
I don't want pink everything.
Yeah, and not even the pink thing, man. Sometimes there's just, I want like an olive green and a khaki, you know? Yeah. I don't need blue and orange all the time. Like maybe change it up a little bit. Yeah, make my boots completely black. That sounds great.
I love it.
Like that. Yeah, just please more colors. And I think that's especially important too. You mentioned sleeping pads. Backpacks are huge.
Yeah.
Don't go for a unisex backpack unless you happen to have particularly massive shoulders or something, but make sure you go and get those fitted because they are not just the shoulders, but the hips are more padded usually on a women's backpack, and the collar is shaped differently. Oftentimes the torsos tend to run a little bit shorter. There's a lot of thought that goes into this higher end gear usually that is absolutely worth investing in, and it's not worth destroying your body and feeling like garbage outside just for the sake of saving, you know, $10-$20.
Oh, for sure. Right on. I feel like you're a wealth of knowledge. So it's been really fun to dive into. I mean, I've even learned things. It's really cool.
Yay.
Yay. So we've come to my favorite part of the podcast, because I think this answer is so unique and different for everyone. So I'm really curious, Mags, what does adventure mean to you?
Adventure means something that is out of the norm. It can be something that's positive or negative, but it's an adventure either way. Something that's different than the everyday, mundane, day in, day out life that blends together. Adventures are those things that stick out in your mind that you remember.
It sounds like you've got a lot of adventure memories.
So many. So many stories. Yeah.
Right on. Sure. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. This has been an incredible conversation, from nerding out on gear and talking about safety outdoors to the story that you shared about your own journey with PTSD and sexual assault and connection and self-empowerment you found through getting outside. And I hope that this message will be heard by at least one person that needed to hear it. I feel pretty confident that that'll happen.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so too. I'm here to kindly suggest, on behalf of everyone who's ever experienced sexual harassment or assault, to please hold those people accountable.
Yeah. Exactly. And it goes beyond just adventure. Like, someone that's willing to share and step up and use their voice and say, hey, this is what happened to me. Like, it is our job to believe them. Never should a victim feel like it was a mistake to speak up and share. Yes. So I think that's super powerful. And what a great note to end on. Just use your voice, speak up, your story matters, and take your power back.
Yes, exactly. Thanks so much for having me on today.
I hope today's episode helped you find the inspiration and courage to get outside and define your own adventure. If you like the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe, follow, and leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. I'll be back next week with more stories from the trail. Until then, adventure on!